The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve. You're all lads.
Hello.
I gotta say, I'm exhausted. This heat has come back with a vengeance, this heat wave. And it's taking me down, man. Taking my energy down, you know what I'm saying? Twisting my melons, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Twisting your melons.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
It's just sapping the energy out of me. I walked up the stairs just now and I felt like there's a massive, fat, hairy bloke on my back, you know? Got the top and I turned around and said, "What are you doing on my back, mate?" It was one, actually. I said,
right.
Out! You know, it was an excellent neighbour. He enjoys a little carry upstairs. He loves that. I saw a picture of Steve on Facebook. Well, it wasn't a Steve, it was actually a pot of salad, which was very similar. Steve, where were you? You bought the salad from the BBC, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah.
And what was the query there, Steve? What was the price? Because there looks like there's plenty of variety in there. They give you a plastic sort of... in fact, I'm surprised the BBC is doing that these days. Plastic is the enemy, isn't it? It's the substance of the devil. It's made in the devil's cauldron, isn't it, plastic these days? So, but you give these plastic throwaway containers and you've got a sort of salad bar, yeah?
Yeah, I'm trying to master how to fill the pot up as much as you can without leaving gaps in between the salads. So trying to work out which salads need to go at the bottom and kind of work your way up, obviously.
So they charge per pot, do they? No matter how much you shove in there, they charge per pot. Okay. Why don't you just fist it down a bit with your fist off? Squash it in.
There's a lot of closing and shaking and pushing, and you need to hold the lid down as you're paying for it because, you know, that lid's not staying closed on its own.
Yeah. Well, and you started off with... sweet corn at the bottom, didn't you, I think? Is that what you thought?
Yeah, so start off with some small bits, so obviously it's going to not leave any gaps. But then you also put small stuff at the top that can fill in the gaps of the big stuff.
Yeah, give it a shake.
I did well, I think.
I got to say, you didn't pile it up over the top a lot, though. It's just quite
I'd already neat. Started eating it.
That's another way of doing it. Eat while you go, you know?
Yeah.
You could eat a pot worth on the way around, couldn't you? Yeah. And then you got another pot there. Did you see the picture there, Pete?
No. If you remember, I'm not on the Facebook.
Are you? Oh, okay. I've gone back on it. Now I know they're doing data stuff and they're ripping off your data. I've gone back on it. Quite enjoying it.
Right, okay.
I'm a contrarian. Now they're doing highly illegal stuff. I think I want part of that. That's good, that. I enjoy that. Because somehow, somewhere on the line, you know, I can sue them or something. I don't know. No, but honestly, I've started... I had, like... 800 friends, and I haven't got 800 friends, you know.
No, correct.
I've got, what, maybe counting you two? None. But, you know, so, but I thought, well, I just started getting rid of them. And over Brexit, I just started getting arguments with people, so I just started getting on my nerves. Why am I giving myself this hassle, arguing with people I don't care about Brexit? So I just had a massive cull, and I went down to, I think, one or two people, I think, maybe three. But I'm building it back up, a friend a day. That's what I'm working. You know, some people don't. Some people don't accept. You know, I know some people, that, and I think, well, withdraw the friend request, and you feel a bit sort of low.
Yeah.
I think, okay, fair enough. You're not really my friend, anyway.
How are you going so far in terms of targeting? You know, so how many days you've been trying one a day?
And well, I'll have a look now. So look, and you know, it's funny.
How long have you been doing it?
It's funny. You just befriend someone and then you never have any communication with them at all. You just, hello, will you be my friend? Yes. So they're friend. They're just a number, aren't they, essentially? You didn't even communicate. They've gone from pokes now on Facebook to waves.
Oh, well,
yeah. So what are they doing?
I tell you who was asking about you both, actually, the other day. I went for a drink with, do you remember Alan, who used to work with us in Red Dragon?
Alan, yes. He's a friend of mine.
He wasn't friends on Facebook anymore, and I was like, he deleted everyone.
I'm back a friend with him now, Alan.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Nice fella, Alan. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. But yeah, his son, who's now probably about 20 or he's in university, was asking if I was still a virgin.
You have to explain that to people that hadn't listened to the radio show 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Justin?
Was I telling... I didn't even remember myself. Did I say you were a virgin, Steve?
Yeah, there was a jingle, wasn't there? Every time Steve came on, you played it and he went, "Steve, he's a virgin." And,
and
Alan's son, who was probably about 8 at the time or 10 or whatever, loved that and used to apparently sing it to Alan, you know, in the car and or randomly, "Steve, he's a virgin." Yeah. And that's Alan's, I think, amusement or...
No, Alan wasn't that. He was slightly, he didn't, he, you know, as an 8-year-old, he didn't want to explain to his son what a virgin is, you know?
Exactly.
It's like...
Well, he knows now and he still thinks I'm a virgin, so there we go.
But the people listening to this podcast will go, "What the hell is Steve?" You can tell Alan's son that I'm no longer a virgin.
I can see how that probably came across a bit wrong,
Just tell him, if you'd asked me last week, I said yes, but now... God, Tinder's a cracking thing, isn't it? But yeah, do you know what? It's funny the way you explained him. It's like Monty, who's 5, said to me the other day, "What's a gay boy?"
And you showed him a picture of Steve.
Yeah. I said, "That there is a virgin gay boy." No, but
what's a virgin?
I said, I went to say it's a very happy person. But in the end, I said,
"Lovely." Yeah.
I said, "You know, some people like kissing girls." Pull a face like that's horrible. Yeah. So, well, some guys look like kissing guys. What? No. I said, yeah. No. Yeah. Ah. Yeah, true. No. I don't know if he believed me in the end. I think he just thought I was joking. But there we are. Anyway, I suppose we should talk about stocks and shares, shouldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
So interest rates have gone up, guys. They've gone up by 50%. 50%! Ooh! Scary! No. Does that sound scary? Until you realise it's 0.5 to 0.75.
Yes.
But Steve, how long have you been... Because I remember, you know, going back when interest rates... I don't know if I had a mortgage ever when they were double digit. But, you know, I remember them... So the scary thing is there are people out there, you know, lots of people out there with mortgages who think this is normal to have this kind of low mortgage, aren't they? But I've got a fixed rate, and I was waiting that for years. I can't wait for the ratchet up again. So, yep, I fixed mine. Yep, fixed. Yeah. Saw this come in. Yep, fixed it up. Yep. Have you got a fixed mortgage, Steve?
Yeah, I think I fixed it on your advice, saying it's probably going to change, and obviously it hasn't really, so...
No, it was supposed to change a couple of years back, wasn't it? But nothing happened, but there we are. But, yeah, so that's happened. Do you know what happened with BT, actually? It was down on... We're recording this on a Thursday night, because Peter is cycling in the Tour de France. He's a bit late, he's going to catch him up. And
that's right.
Oh, by the way, Geraint, eh? Oh, lovely,
yes,
see?
Very good.
That yellow very jersey, good. Looked like a big daffodil on a bike, lovely. He should have worn. He should have worn one of those daffodil, you know, the people you see in Welsh in the stadiums, with a little Welsh little sort of flower on his head. If he'd worn that with a yellow jersey, that'd be perfect, wouldn't it? A little
good
green
point.
Flower.
I don't know why he didn't do that.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe a bit of wind drag. Maybe who knows? You know. Maybe he was wearing it, but the wind pushed it down a bit. You couldn't really see
that's it.
So what are you doing, Pete? You're going up to the Tour de France site, are you?
I'm not going to the Tour de France. No, I'm going to France with family. Bit of a holiday. For a few days.
But to France? I wouldn't go there. They're awfully racist.
We enjoy it. That's what we enjoy
about. You enjoy the racism.
Yeah.
We really enjoy
racism.
We enjoy a bit of racist banter. We love that.
And xenophobia towards the Brits. Yes. Love that. That's where we go every year.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
That's what I'm doing. So we are recording it on a Thursday night. So
yes. So that's why I said that. Yes. Because on a Thursday, BT was down.
Yes.
And then the interest rate decision came out, and it went up. And
not by a lot, though.
No, not a lot, but it went from negative to positive, and it went above 230. So it's it's a nice sort of round figure-ish. And I'm thinking, is that 230? So I'm thinking, BT is obviously some kind of defensive stock. I don't know. I was trying to figure out why. I mean, some stocks do that. Some stocks are contrarian defensive stocks. So when other stocks go up, they go down. You know, so that's a good thing. But we are at. It's a couple of things on the chart worth looking at. The 20-day moving average, which is a technical indicator, of course, is crossing the 125 moving average. That hasn't happened for two years.
Right. Steve, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I kind of predicted that was going to happen, to be honest. I just wasn't sure the exact time stamp, to be honest.
In fact, it hasn't
happened
for a year, sorry. But it just about touched the 200-day moving average, which is the granddaddy of all moving averages. It's the bull bear line, essentially. And the share price hasn't been above that for 2 years. Now, if it gets above that, and then we're talking, then we're motoring, you know? So that's a good thing. And of course, we've got the dividend coming up. And I think total dividend for BT is about, I think, 5.5%, 6%, I think. So, it's not bad, but we've taken sort of knock about 20% already. So, more than that. So, anyway. Yeah, but now, once it turns around, the momentum guys go crazy. Anyway. Let's talk about other stocks. So anything? Do you, any observations on the market? On the market this week? On the market?
Well, Apple being the first $1 trillion company was quite impressive.
That's nuts, isn't it? 24 zeros.
I think they're going to do quite well. I think they've got a future there in that company. I think they're all right.
I bought an Apple Watch. That's maybe helped them, I think.
Oh, maybe that's it. One thing I did think was with all the technology and all the mumbo jumbo and everything to do with business and all the rest of it, at the end of the day, what they've done in the past year is just put the prices up of their, or produce a new phone that's more expensive. Of course, you make more money. They sell less, fine, but they sell, make a bigger margin per unit. So, wow, yes. That's pretty simple business, really, isn't it? Make a more expensive
just
product.
Charge
them. You say that, Pete, but the actual a lot of that cost did go into the materials.
Oh, he couldn't keep it up, did he? He started off sounding half intelligent then, and then he just stumbled. You say that, Pete, but actually, a lot of the investments going into the his brain started hiccuping and farting and burping.
Yeah. I can think of the word materials. Like the OLED screen costs a lot more. So a lot of it kind of went.
Yeah, but do you know what? They're still making a decent.
They're buying at, surely not.
Yeah, no. They got Chinese guys putting that together, Steve, for 50 pence. It's probably the new one. It's probably about 60 pence. That's what it costs. In actual fact, guys, you are right. So a couple of things they've made money on. And everyone's saying that they can't. It is true, isn't it? You are true. It's an excellent observation there, Peter. Very good indeed. They're all saying, the thing is, they can't innovate anymore. It's, all they can do is improve the camera a bit and get a bit more, sort of storage and all that. And that's true. But what they have done is they're saying, do you want to charge them more? At the end of the day, someone come in a marketing, meeting in Apple.
Yeah.
Can we just charge them more? All went silent, looked at him and went, that's a genius idea. Let's charge them more. And then also they said, let's restrict the memory bit and just charge them for a bit of memory as well. And not a lot, but if everyone takes it, 75 pence. That's very clever, isn't it? 75 pence I pay for storage. I don't know what it is. It's extra 10 gig, I think it is. But that 75 pence, across how many million users, millions of users every month, that's a nice revenue stream. So they made $9.5 billion off of services. Yeah, so...
Yeah. And did I just see that? They sold something like, was it 40 million phones in the past month or something?
I'm just saying, how do you, 41 million Apple phones in a quarter, how do you pack those? There's a lot of Chinese guys going like crazy, sweating the factory, going like nuts. How many you pack? 41 million! Come on, I'm going to pump for eight! But how do you pack that? That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even the logistics
of the logistics of all of it is just incredible. The numbers is just amazing, aren't they? But, ultimately, we're going to sell 30% less phones. I know, let's mark them up by 30%. Yeah, and then make them up by 50% and then we'll make it more money.
It's basic business, isn't it?
I'm sure the R&D costs a lot of money, Pete. Don't think it's just...
He buys into it. He's been brainwashed.
I know, yes. Steve, do you know when they say they got an Apple event? It's not an Apple event. That's why they got the media covering it. It's an Apple advert.
And no, I know that. No, I know
everyone
that.
Everyone just says,
seen the breakdown costs of how much the phones
cost. No, you have not.
I have seen them. And then that's just the cost of making the phone and the materials they pay for them. So you put on top of the amount of research and R&D that goes into it, of course it's going to cost, a lot more.
R&D?
Making a profit, don't get me wrong. Yeah, of course they are. They're not selling the phones for a pound or a couple of quid and then selling them for a grand, are they? There's a lot more than that.
Right. Well, apparently, the parts of the base model of iPhone X with 64 gigabyte storage cost $370. More than doubling the money. Yeah. How much does an iPhone cost? Listen, Steve. Nothing groundbreaking in that. They just up I'm trying to sound intelligent now. What's the computer chips in them? The computer chips are more powerful, right? But they don't do that. What they haven't cracked is the battery. all this sort of, you know, highfalutin tech stuff. Just crack the battery, boys. I'm still having to charge my phone every night. You know, it's annoying. It's holding us back. But Steve, they haven't, you know, made any new groundbreaking, cutting edge tech discoveries in this phone, have they? The camera's a bit better. That's about it, isn't it? What's different?
Facial recognition.
That's been around for years. Facial recognition. Apple didn't invent that. Yeah. Samsung.
I recognize faces every day.
Yeah.
No, but Samsung haven't been able to crack it.
Listen, Sam, right? Old Samsung there. He cracked that a long time ago, and all of a sudden Apple sued him for the design, didn't they? Apple won that, but Samsung had it. But they didn't invent that. That's not been invented, Steve.
Let's be honest, none of us know the actual inside.
Yes, we do. Me and Pete do. You do. Yeah. And that's how they managed to. That's how they managed to pull the wool over your face and say it's more. It's expensive, more high tech wool. So basically, they haven't invented anything new since iPhone 1, essentially, have they?
No.
Touch screens, cameras. Well, they give you a bit more storage, a bit faster. You know, it's a bit nicer display. What have they actually done?
It got thinner, didn't it? If you remember, like iPhone 6, that's what I got. And that's when it started to get, you know, it was a thinner design.
It's getting better at packing stuff. The Chinese guys just getting better at packing stuff into that phone.
into the chassis,
We can fit more in here. It's gaps.
Hold up.
Make it smaller. So anyway, that's the one end of the investment spectrum. We sort of swim around in the murky waters of the AIM market, which is completely the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not blue chip. It's more like fish and chips or deep fried chips. So anyway, I'm looking at AIM, which is sort of high risk. Listen, I want to bring attention to, I know you guys sort of jumped in, I want to bring attention to a little stock I had in the podcast, all right, on Wednesday. And everyone was listening to Upland Resources, Phalanx Group, and I think Botswana Diamonds, I think it was the other company. But, let me just see who was on this. There was Phalanx Group, Botswana Diamonds, and Upland Resources. So everyone listen to that. Right at the end of the podcast there, right at the end, it's a little company called Predator Oil and Gas, PRD. And I was listening along to Paul, who was talking there, and he knows Dr. Stephen Staley, Dr. Steve, not Dr. R. Steve, not our Dr. Steve.
Not as good as that.
He knows Dr. Steve Staley from Upland Resources very well. In fact, this is what triggered my little flag, my senses. So, Dr. Steve Staley is also non-executive director of Predator Oil and Gas, which is what Paul is from. Paul Grosso. So why do I like this company, right? Why did I buy a chunk? I didn't mention it at all because I'm writing a blog about it on the weekend, and it's very unknown stock, and this is what I love. When you find a stock nobody knows about, and it's brand new. It only came to the market in May. It listed in May. Okay, PRD is ticker Predator. You know, get Predator. Rah! But it's a tiny market cap, so it floated at 2.8 pence, right? And that was 100 million shares in issue, so it's 2.8 million market cap. It's gone down. It dropped down by 2.2, but it's up to 2.5 now. So it's 2.5
Steve,
million.
Steve, what are you chopping, Steve?
Don't be. I love the way he stops and stares like that. caught me. Eyes wide open, looking to the side. Uh-oh, they've got me.
Yeah, he's Homer Simpson, isn't he?
I know, what are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm cutting him.
Because it's really
noisy. It's like someone's got a sound effect CD of someone chopping fruit or vegetables.
Yeah.
What are you chopping, Steve?
This is a sweet potato, it's my tea.
And they're hard to chop, they are. If they are hard.
Yeah, I was trying to do it quietly, but clearly not.
I tell you what's hard work to chop. What's the hardest thing you've ever... What's the hardest... Just going on a sidetrack, on a tangerine. What's the hardest vegetable you've ever tried to cut?
Oh, butternut squash.
Yes! Never again. Yeah. That was... I'm getting annoyed with it. I'm really getting angry with it. My face was as orange as a butternut squash. But literally, it was really hard work. That was. I even looked it up on the internet. How do you cut a butternut squash? That's what the internet's for. Anyway, brilliant. Predator Oil and Gas. Steve, what are you doing? Are you sanding it down?
I'll mute my mic as you're talking. So,
okay. Oh, that's good. Thanks.
So Predator Oil and Gas, right? It's a 2.5 million market cap. They raised 1.3, which they pretty much still got, because they only listed in May. And they haven't spent a lot of money. In fact, they raised a bit more than that, about 1.5. But with, they spend a bit and commission and stuff like that and whatever, paying people, you know, backhanders. Only kidding. But they got about 1.3 left. So 2.5 million, 1.3 left. So you discount the cash and, you know, you got it's worth what, 1.2. But they've got two assets, right? They're very, in fact, there's a lot more than that. There's one more than that. But two assets they're interested in. The first one is in Trinidad. And the Trinidad is a very well-known oil-producing area. But they've got a lot of old oil fields. What these guys are doing, Paul knows this gig very well. He's worked. He was a guy, if you probably don't know, Sound Energy, Pete, was a very big success, right? Tendrara gas discovery. Took that stock. In fact, do you remember us nearly buying it at like 10 pence?
Yeah.
And we did, it went a quid.
They had that asset in Italy, didn't they?
Yes, that's Trendara, right? And Morocco, Morocco. But anyway, Paul was responsible for discovering and developing that field, and that took that took Sound Energy from, say, sort of 5 pence up to a quid. He's in charge of that, right? So he knows his stuff about gas. He's in Trinidad, right? They've got an asset in Trinidad. And what they're going to do is, I've never heard of this before, CO2 enhanced oil recovery. So this it's like an anabolic steroids into an old oil field. You get multiples of what you used to get. So they're hoping to get, they're going to be starting before the end of the year drilling this. They've got all the cash to do it for the first phase, but they're hoping to get about 400 barrels of oil per day, right? Now, their operating cost the barrel of oil, $1.
Wow.
I know, I thought, what? I thought, that can't be right, can it? And it's $1, so it is. And I like that. And they're going to be doing, but within 9 months, they'll be hoping to get, this is conservative, 400 barrels a day, all right? So, I've written the figures down. So 400 barrels a day, that's about 140,000 a year. They'll be getting more than $20 clear profit, so this is conservative.
As I say, how much is about a bottle of oil, how much is a bottle of oil, fella?
So, well,
how much is one of those?
You know, a barrel of oil at the moment, let's look at it, it's about $65 to $70 there. $65, let me have a quick look. Anyway, so even if you work out commodities, oil is 68 to 70, so Brent is 72, WTI is 68, so 68. So, even if you work out, they'd be getting $20, right? That is 2.9 million profit for 1 year. Put this on a very conservative multiple.
Can you just step back? You just said something like 140 grand a month. What are you talking about?
No, 140,000 barrels per year. That's 400 barrels a day.
Right? 140,000 barrels.
So this is just Trinidad. This is just Trinidad. Yeah. Wait now. Get some more excited. Excitement. Right. So say 140,000 barrels of oil per year, getting $20 clear profit. Okay.
Yeah.
Very low capex and very low opex. Out of that, say 2.9 million profit. Okay, for 1 year. That's dollars. Put this on a conservative multiple of say 5. That's a 14.6 million. That's 11 million pounds. And so 1 year of profit from that field is a four bagger already on their market cap, right?
Wow.
This is not the exciting bit. This is not the exciting bit. Mm. They have an Irish asset right next to Shell's asset, which is in the Carib, in the South Carib. The structure is exactly the same. Shell sold that a few years back for $1.2 billion, right? They've had a competent person's report on it. Net to them is 212 BCF of gas. The equivalent in oil is 37 million barrels of oil.
Wow.
Now, this is a 2.5 million market cap. They've got 1.3 million in cash. The guy behind it, like I said, is Paul, is very well connected. He knows his stuff. He's done this before.
Yeah.
And also, they got Steve Staley on the board of directors from Upland. No one knows about it. This is why I like it. Once people start understanding...
So why did the share price not like shift a lot more then?
Because this is the thing. There's a seller there somewhere. Someone who took part in the initial fundraise. And, of course, it's at 2.8 pence. It's now 2.5. And they've obviously not happy the share price has not rocketed or something. They're selling. People do this for reasons. People take part in the initial fundraise, the IPOs, and placings, and they flip straight away, you know, if they're not happy. And so there's a bit of a seller there taking it. It's not much volume there. the stock's not known about. It's a brand new, it's brand new to the market. It's not known about. And so all you've got is very little volume, apart from this one seller trying to sell it every time they get a bit of volume in the stock. So at the moment, you are picking up the stock for less than the initial investors invested in at 2.8 pence. So anything below 2.8 pence, you're laughing, essentially, because, you know, first of all, it's undervalued. And secondly, the, you know, the investors who come to market with it invested higher up. So there may be resistance.
And so what stage are that now?
So
with both those assets?
By the way, they're also in talks out for a farm out of that Irish asset. So some of that, I mean, it's a big drill, of course, it'll cost a lot of money. But they've targeted people and they're in talks with a farm out. So if they get a farm out, there'll be no cost to them. The farm out partner will pay for 3D and drilling. And then basically, they'll just share the profit. So, and let's say they farm out 50%. That's still a heck of a lot of upside. So if you say, say 30 million barrels of oil recoverable, and they can up that as well. But let's say you halve that to 50 million barrels of oil, divide that over, a 10-year life. It's probably more than that anyway, though. So hang on, it's 15 million over 10 years. Was that just, what was that? What's 15 million to 1.5 million? 1.5 million barrels a year, that's a lot, isn't it? So, I want 5 divided by 865. So that's 4,000 barrels, 10 times as big as their Trinidad thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's already a four bagger. So that's like a 40 bagger. That's like a 44 bagger if that comes off.
Not that you're ramping the stock at all.
I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Guys, we've got a 44 bagger.
Oh, Steve's fainted. It hasn't happened yet, Steve.
Right, sorry. All right.
God.
Steve, your sound effects tonight are brilliant.
Yeah, even, oh my God, sweet potato! Sweet potato! Yeah, so that's why I like it. It's welcome. The management is good. By the way, does he own stock? Yeah, he owns 44% of the stock. Paul?
Okay.
Paul Griffiths. He sounds Welsh to me, but I think he is. Paul Griffiths. Hey! But yeah, so he owns 44% of the stock. So
that's always a good sign, though, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. Well, like Upland, you know, Steve Staley owned a big chunk before they came to the market. He did own 80% of it. Of course, come to the market, you float about half the stock, so your position gets diluted by 50%. You know, so
just to answer my question, what stage are they at with the two?
Oh yeah, so they're going to be hoping. And the good thing is, on Trinidad, there's a lot of these old wells around, right? All these old oil fields that can be. It can be stimulated by the CO2, and they have got an exclusive contract with the only CO2 supplier on Trinidad. So if there's more wells and he's stimulating, they have to go through them to get the CO2. So it's likely that 400 barrels a day will go up, and there's other opportunities in Trinidad as well. But they're going to be drilling before the end of the year on Trinidad, so it'll be cash flow before the end of the year. And but the big sort of oil field 2019-2020, the Irish one. So there's a lot there. But 2.5 million market cap, you can't, you know,
it's with cash in the bank.
Yeah, with 1.3 million cash, you know, exactly. That's so values the company's assets and the board at 1.2 million. Yeah. That's all it values it at. Yeah. So
and a guaranteed 44 bagger. Oh no,
yeah. It's a no brainer, Mike.
What percentage did you invest, Justin?
What percentage of what? Of my portfolio? I'd say I'm up to about 5%. I mean, I'll hold it.
Okay, so quite high.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it, you know, like I said, there is a seller, they may drift back. Obviously, it's not a very well-known company. Predator Oil & Gas, PRD. Have a listen to the podcast. You know, go on the Vox Markets, on the media page there, of their page, and you can listen to the podcast again, the individual podcast. And, yeah, it's a lot of good stuff in there. And I'm writing a blog about it on the weekend. Have a read. Please subscribe to my blog via email. You can do that. I think the best way to do that is, where's the best link? If you're on Twitter or something, or go to Share Pickers on Twitter, and you'll see it on my bio there. Just click there to subscribe, and you'll get the link there, and I'll send you an email. But, three reasons why it's worth putting in your watch list. But, I just think, you know, a lot of catalysts happening. So it's near-term stuff as well. Near-term cash generation. They've got cash. Skin in the game. Excellent assets. Tiny market cap. It ticks all the boxes, guys. It ticks all the boxes. Of course, it's high risk, oil and gas. But listen, with Trinidad, the high impact in Ireland, yes, there's probably one in three chances. It's high risk, you know. But they can get 3D seismic and sort of try and make it less risky. With Trinidad, though, these are producing fields. They're not looking for oil. There's oil there. all they're doing is stimulating these. And so it's, you know, and apparently in America, CO2 it's sort of stimulated oil fields happen all the time. They're very popular there. So it's a big thing, you know. So it's no hardly any risk at all. It's almost close to impossible that they'll produce no more oil. And there'll be updates every month on the oil being produced. Cool, so that's that. Anyway, anything else we're going to add? Anything else, boys? Imaginatech is maybe an opportunity, boys, to get in, because we've had no... You know, Imaginatech took a little tech stock, 2.5 million. Vin Maria,
yes.
The Queen. I did 80% on that Friday. I sold half of my stock. I owned 1.5% of that company. It was tiny. And then I sold about half of it when it doubled. I got about 94%. And the volume was there, I just took my half out pretty much. So I'm sitting on a free ride there, but it's come back now a little bit. But Vin Murray, the Queen of Tech, you know, hasn't given any further announcements in connection with taking the company over. I'm just thinking at the moment, you know, there's some risk there, but I'd have a little dabble at the moment. Just drop back a bit. You know, look at the chart. It's come back a bit from the initial spike. It may grind lower, IMTK. But, worth looking at. Do you know what? At the moment, it's a bit of a punt, you know, because you don't know what's going on. But she did say she's investing. I don't see why she'd do it in RNS and say she's investing when she's not. So, you know, but like I said, it's gone off the ball a little bit. I don't know how long it'll take, but it will drift. The more time it takes for news to go out, the more it'll drift, I think. But, once again, Europa Metals, looking good, of course, as a placing. Mm-hmm. There'll always be churn from placing stock when people, you know, take part in the fundraise and the stock rises a bit. They'll always sell into it a little bit, you know, so you'll have a bit of churn. But I've been looking at, you know, I transcribed the interview I did with Lawrence after the placing, and there's a lot in there that when you see it in black and white in text, it's very interesting. Now,
you transcribed it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you listen to it. Do you listen to a podcast, right, and you get the general gist? When you actually put in the text in black and white, you see the detail, the fine detail, and you concentrate more when you're reading, you know? And I'll give an example of what you said. In fact, one of the tweets earlier on. So what they're doing, right, they've got a good team together now, and they're in Spain, and they're re-logging. So there's this core shed. You know, when you drill holes into an asset, so, you know, a core or something, you diamond drill and it sucks out a core, you know, a long tube of the rock, whatever it is, and they check for mineralization. So now they went down there, and of course it was quite well kept, but only certain intersections had been analysed. So now we're going through the entire core of Toral. There's 41,000 metres drilled, so we're getting loads of data off this, loads of data that we didn't have before. And he said something, he said, put it this way, I think there's lots of great assets about that have been missed. They've missed a lot of stuff. He said, oh, there we are. He said, no, we're re-logging the core and we're building up our own database. And since we've taken that concept to the next level and we're looking very closely and increasing our understanding of the site, and for me, the last 2 weeks have been absolutely fascinating. And while our workflows tick over, what I'm really looking forward to is finding out the results of our re-logging exercise and listen to the geologists talk about what they've discovered, what they thought that they've missed, that we've missed previously. So they're doing extra drilling, and they're re-logging. Now, remember, the last time they sort of logged these, the resource estimate went up by 50% from 8 million tonnes to 16 million tonnes. Now they're doing it on their own database. They're not looking at some else's database. They're re-logging every single core they have, not just intersections, every single core they have. They're drilling more, and that will go into the scoping study. I'm very optimistic about this. He also says, previously only had the intersections, but now we're logging as much as the actual entirety of the drill core as possible, which is giving us an enormous amount of information. So I'm liking this. I think this will turn out to be a bigger resource, and the scoping study will be very impressive. And if you listen to that thing, how excited he gets. I mean, Paddy said he sounded so excited towards the end. What did he say? He said something about being 25. We didn't know it dipped out. He said, let me just find it, right? I think. He said, he talked to, after looking at the first set of core, I said to him, okay, the moment you're getting more excited about this project as you go on, are you getting more excited about this project? I asked him, and he said, I generally avoid this because, honestly speaking, the last week, to be honest, I was saying to Jesus Montero, who's our head officer. So I said, you know, from the beginning of the week to the end of the week, I'm probably about 25, and it dipped out. More excited about this project than I've ever been before. So 25 what?
times left.
Did you not ask him again?
No, because I did that. So I'm assuming it's 25 times because 25% is not very impressive. It's about a quarter more. So, but he was very excited. And he said, I'm sorry, Justin, you shouldn't have asked me that question. As I always say, I'm not going to say things like this, but I can't wait to see the next 6 weeks gives us. And it will be all based on data. So we can't influence that, which is going to look at what the facts are. But I'm dying to see what happens from the relogging.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see what happens from the relogging. So he is very excited by the data they're pulling out of here. I just think, guys, you know, still sub 5 million market cap. Once the Scopus study came out, it's going to blow the doors off, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Nice. So, hopefully, yeah.
I'm very excited, Eddie.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Upland Resources, good. Talking about Upland, Steve Selly, good news out this week, wasn't it? Upland?
Yes.
They've been working on that for a while. Fair play, Alex, on the podcast, I said, you know, Steve, since you come on, you came on, first of all, with a plan. That's all you had, man. You know, a plan, and he did have something in wrestle, and a bit of hard stuff, which is UK, you know, sort of producing. But you had a plan about the Far East, you know, in Malaysia area, and a plan about North Africa. Now, like a flower blossoming, that plan is coming together, man. You know, you've got the Sarawak, the Malaysian things going on. That's happening. We're waiting on details of that. You've also got Tunisia, which is going to be massive, I think. I think it's going to be massive. Absolutely. It's like Donald Trump there. That's going to be fantastic, I think. Fantastic. We've had a look at these guys.
Fantastic.
And I just think Tunisia's going to be big. I think Sarawak's going to be big. And I think it's 20 million market cap. It's got a long way to go. There's two massive high impact. And the Sarawakians are super, you know, charged to get this because they've been given sort of... He said, explain to me, it's about Scotland. But there's, you know, but even during Scotland wanted independence. That's what's happened. But they've got the entire North Sea now. But it's like North Sea times 10 has not been drilled. A lot of it's not been drilled. So they've got that. And that's Steve is in the pocket. They are the only private company signed up to the national company. You've got to deal with the national company. So it's almost like they're having an exclusivity over the North Sea oil fields, which have produced billions of barrels of oil over the last 50 years. So that's what it's like. It's massive, you know? Massive in Sarawak. And Tunisia, gas-wise, it's also the potential to be huge there because Tunisia is a well-known prolific area for gas. And they've got a licence area, and this is going to be extended as well, a licence area a quarter of the size of Wales or the size of Cape Verde at the moment, and that's going to get bigger. So, that's impressive, Upland Resources. Very impressive, man.
That's one of those ones where, like, yeah, I know I bought a very small amount, like 1.2p, and I think de-risked a bit. You kind of go, there's probably a lot more to go in this, and it's actually...
This is why, so going back to predator oil and gas. This is why.
I know, right.
Go big at the start, guys. Go big at the start.
Go big early.
Go max 10% almost. At this level, right? Yeah. You know, when it's unknown, you've got to factor this in. When it's unknown, you've got cash. This is when nobody knows about it. In fact, I read that book called Free Capital while I was on holiday. It's worth reading, actually. They talked to quite a few private investors who've made millions in small caps and all that, right? And as I said, one of the guys on there, a guy called Vince, apparently he's a CEO of a company on AIM, but he's made a couple of million. And he said one of his... red flags is when people are talking about it a lot on bulletin boards and the CEO is worshipped, I avoid. When it's not being talked about, I know I'm onto something. And that's the time, you know, at the moment, no one's talking about it.
When it's not being talked about, when they've got cash and when they've all got skin, when the directors have got skin in the game, a large chunk of the company, then that to me is a really good sign.
I did the same with Upland. I bought Upland, right? And quite a big chunk. I was buying a little bit of stock and it's pushing the price up. And I literally, this is when Upland was at sub 5 million market cap. And I remember doing the same. And then I got a bit worried because news took a while to come out. And it jumped up and I sold a bit. And I thought, oh, I wish I hadn't sold a bit now. But this time, I'm not going to make that. Obviously, this may not play out as well as Upland. But I'm saying at the moment, from this level, market cap, what are you going to lose? You know, it's not going to go down. You know, they've got things happening in the next couple of weeks. I mean, I think before the end of the year, they'll stop the drilling there, or stop the sort of CO2 injections at Trinidad. They've also got the license, the confirmation license in Ireland. It's an odd thing in Ireland. They've got a certain amount, they've got a license on it, but they're going to do a frontier exploration license, will be awarded to them. But you get awarded to you if you've done the most work. So basically, you have first right of refusal. And so it's pretty much in the can, even though they have to apply for it. They've done the most work on this license, so they'll put it to the license minister, the minister in charge, and he'll offer it to them, and it's up to them whether they decide to take it or not. And then if not, they'll offer it to somebody else. But so that's going to happen, and I think maybe there's work on, because in the RSs there's work, we're also advanced talks with pharma partners. So I think there could be three bits of news before the end of the year. This is on a market cap with 2.5 million, plenty of cash. So very excited. Do you see, by the way, ex-CEO, the ashamed, the pushed out, sacked CEO BT, sold 100 grand worth of shares on Wednesday?
Oh, I didn't see that, no. Yeah,
Gavin Pastyhead.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
who managed to bag 1.3 million bonus by tanking the share price. I think he must have showed the chart, the upside down chart, at the remuneration committee. So look at that, guys. don't worry, the writing's upside down. The printer, somewhere on the printer. But he just sold 104 grand of shares. Dirty little boy. Anything else, boys, to chat about? I'm chatting enough.
Feedback came back a long way, which is annoying because the director sold there, didn't it? Some director.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it? I know.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Feedback, it's taken a long time. Do you know what just going on? I think a medical guy will come in, but I think the chairman there, I've seen him, Alistair Riddell, I think. There may be a difference of opinion between David Crabb and Riddell. Riddell. I don't know, I'm just speculating there, of course. So. Yeah, Vissarion is up, doing well. Interesting Vissarion. People still criticise the valuation of Vissarion. I would say, mate, you don't know how to value it, really. And no one else does. That's the perfect tech stock. Really is. Yeah. When you've got that's blue sky material. When you can't, put a valuation on the market size. I own EVRH, but I see EVRH is a lot smaller, market than Vissarion. Because that's virtual reality with wearing those little boxes on your head. Who's doing that? I mean, at the moment, they're live. Their app is live. Who is doing that? Is anyone doing that? Do you know anyone, Steve, who has got a box in the head and they're watching music?
Nope.
I don't know anyone doing that. I can see VR maybe working in gaming, where it's pretty much, it is a sort of, it's an individual sport, isn't it? But you can sort of play other people. But with music, it's more like a concert. Well, a concert means lots of people, isn't it? So concert is more about a crowd, isn't it? So. Even though I still hold, I just want to see what's happening next. I've de-risked loads of times, and I just think it'd be interesting to see when their finals come out. Actually, what the revenue they've generated from the app. So I don't know if they've generated anything. Powerhouse Energy's taken a tank in. I bought some of those a while back.
I'm
down about 30% on those, but I put a tiny bit in, not a lot, because I knew there's gonna be a bumpy road ahead. But they've said it's going to take longer now until they get this sort of commercialization up, and they also suggested they need cash. So. That's a big tanker, and but what the market cap are they now? But in fact, tech works, if it works, they say it does, from 5 million market cap, if they get commercialization deal, I'd go bananas. I'm saying this a long way off though, because the rest of this year is not going to happen deal. So frustrating is Jan Garda. Tilao Energy pumped up a bit this week, didn't it? Because the request for proposal from the Botswana government was sent out again. I don't see the big deal last time when they cancelled it, idiots. Asian Mets, that's stumbling. Do you see what I say there about bigger market caps? Once they get up there, they stop moving so fast, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, news coming out. The thing is, we know about the news. Asian Met now, so we've got the pre-feasibility study, but so it's has huge potential. But like I said, as you get bigger market cap, the slower you move, it's like getting fatter. The fatter you get, the slower you move. Simple as that.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You may be a bit more, if imagine a little kid, right, jumping on another little kid's back. A little kid has got, I'd say, imagine a 4-year-old jumping on like a 10-year-old's back, right? So, a bit wobbly, but plenty of energy running around. Then you imagine, and that's a small cap, and then you imagine Steve jumping on, say, the back of a 20 stoner. Bit more stable, there, but he wouldn't carry you very fast, Steve, would he?
No.
And he'd start sweating and stuff. And he'd have to sit down for a while, have a rest, a breather, sweat a bit. So, okay, come on, let's go. Oh, he needs to sit down again. That's what it's like, bigger caps. They get a bit bigger, a bit of fatter, and you know, it's they move slower. That's why I like sub 10 million, sub 5 million. That's exciting. Anyway, anything, yes. Anything else, boys? Anything else to chat about?
No, nothing else. I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Any plans? Are you going to France, Peter?
I'm going to the French France, yes.
Who are you going with?
Brother and sister and their kids and stuff and all that. So, you know, just...
That's nice. Uncle Pete's coming along, is he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Uncle Pete, come along. Yeah.
Is Pete bringing his boyfriend, Dad?
Yes, yeah. No.
No, he's banned. After that last time. Oh, all right, yeah. Because they didn't have separate beds, Dad, did they? No, they didn't.
So weird.
Thanks. Steve, any plans? Yeah, I'm going to France with Peter.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
Yeah.
No. Sorry about that.
I got quite excited when I got one of my friends is throwing a little festival in his house. So we've got like beer taps and paddling pool, little hot tubs and
how big is his house?
It's only small. So yeah, but we.
I think a festival is over egging it a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. It's about 15 of us.
It's a house party, right. Steve.
It's a house party
with a beer tap. Festival.
Yeah. Yes,
and paddling pool.
Yeah. Paddling pool, hot tub.
Is it just 15 folks?
No, it's mix and match. Four couples apart from me.
So,
oh, you're the 15th man.
Yeah, I'm the odd one out. Yeah, standard. So you've seen awful, Pete. You're usually the same.
You're the same. Yeah, you're the same, Pete. You should go to the festival. What? Or, you know, you should actually treat it like a festival, Steve, where you just, you know, urinate in everywhere. Just, I don't know what you're doing, festivals. Don't wash and stuff and just...
Yeah,
obviously. Is that a festival?
You got a DJ booth?
Hang on, it's an evening, isn't it?
Obviously, no, it's like it starts at 1 o'clock. So,
well, see, but it's not. You're going home, aren't you?
That is
the limpest festival I've ever heard in my life, Steve. It's basically a house party. It's dark in the afternoon. Now, so. Who's is it? Yep. What's his name?
Sam.
He's a nice boy, but he's stretching it a bit, isn't he? And you're a bit old for that, anyway, isn't it, really? Come for festival, boys.
I know, Justin, you're nothing but a joy, are you? Steve's excited about his weekend, and you've literally just all over his career.
It doesn't matter, Pete. I'm still excited for it.
I'm excited for it.
Do you know what that is? If you're excited for that, Steve, it just shows how little there is in your life.
Wow. I could turn this around to you, Justin, very easily.
Yes, exactly right.
I admit it's very little in my life, but even that doesn't get me excited. It's basically a long party in someone's house with a paddling pool and a beer tap. Oh, it's fantastic.
I think it could be quite fun.
Boys, 10 o'clock, keep noise down. We should leave now.
I'm gonna send some pictures and some videos and you'll see what you're missing.
I'll enjoy that. That's the best thing I enjoy. But you know what happened, Steve? That reminds me of when we were in that club. Cuba? Was it?
So that's what I'm...
the pictures you'll send won't be a fair representation of what's happening, I feel. And I'm always reminded...
It'll be nothing like that.
I always remember those four Asian guys in Caruba? What's it called?
In Cuba.
Bar Cuba. Yeah. Where literally they were sitting there, none of them are drinking, four of them. There's people dancing all around them. They were sitting there, the biggest long faces I've ever seen in my life. Then all of a sudden someone pulled up a phone or camera... And they got together, putting their wackiest faces into the camera and stuff. And then they went back to, within seconds, they went back to just sitting there, not talking to each other, bored. That is not a fair representation. That's Facebook for you, fake book. Everything on Facebook is faked, isn't it? And it is not a fair, it's the iceberg of life. They show you the top bit of the life where you're smiling, the rest of it, the depressing, sad side.
Right. And on that happy note, and as Justin sat at home transcribing podcasts, so I'm not sure who's got the most dull life.
We've got a hoot of a weekend, Pete, haven't we?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, don't forget to take a picture of that beer tap, Steve.
Oh, I will.
That'd be impressive. All right, guys, well, have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.